We're very close to that. Churches will be Christless. So when Satan rules and there's godless governments and Christless churches, then you can bet your sweet money that there will be nothing but tribulation that can follow as it rules like that. So the tribulation's coming. But John's in heaven. He shows us one that sat upon the throne. Verse number 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now, two stones are mentioned here, the jasper and the sardine stone. Now, you need to understand that that is the first stone and the last stone in those 12 stones that are on the breastplate of the high priest. Remember, so there was a high priest in the Old Testament. He goes in and makes atonement for our sins. As he goes in and makes atonement for our sins, on his breastplate, he has 12 stones. Each of those stones represent, each of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And so what we see here, we see the first and the last stone as John looks upon the throne. That first stone being the stone of Reuben. Now follow with me. Reuben's name meant behold a son. That last stone, it is the stone of Benjamin. So Reuben's name was first, Benjamin's name was last, but Benjamin, his name means son of my right hand. So as John looks at these stones, knowing Old Testament history, he is reminded that the one stone is the stone of Reuben, which means behold a son. The second stone is of Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. And so literally, as John looks at the throne, he is reminded of Reuben, behold a son. He's reminded of the incarnation of Christ. And then he looks at the other stone, is reminded of Benjamin, son of my right hand. He is reminded of the exaltation of Christ. You understand? So when he sees the throne, John is reminded from his Old Testament imagery of a son who means who very well his name is a reflection of the incarnation of Christ, and of a son whose name is a reflection of the exaltation of Christ. And so John looks on the throne and he sees that, yes, there was a son that was born, who was incarnated, died, buried, rose again, and exalted, and sat down at the right hand of God. And so as John sees that throne, he sees that Old Testament imagery and is moved in worship by what he sees. Now watch this. He also sees, what does he see? A rainbow around the throne. Man, that is so interesting to me that God takes that Old Testament promise. Now watch. That Old Testament promise from the flood, and he said, I'll never destroy the earth again by water. And around God's throne, John is reminded of a promise God made some 6,000 years beforehand. And it's as a reminder, as God saying, I'm not going to break that promise. But what is about to happen is God's going to judge the world by fire. He promised he would never judge it again by water, but he will by fire. But God made that promise some 6,000 years before this scene in heaven that we're looking at. And God has kept that promise those 6,000 years. And he'll keep it to the end. All right, look with me in verse 4. And around about the throne were 24 seats, literally small thrones. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now notice, so the question is, who are these 24 elders? Well, now I want you to notice that a few things, that they're seated on lesser thrones, they have white robes, and they also are wearing crowns. Now, there are some who say that these are angelic beings. I don't think so at all, because in a minute we're going to see that these 24 were purchased. Angels have never been purchased or redeemed, and nor will they ever be. Some say that it is Old Testament Israel, but I'm going to say it's not that either. The Bible has given us really a detail of who it is. I believe it's a picture of the church, because remember, in 4:1, the church, we believe, is a picture of the rapture. The church is caught up at this point between the end of 3 and 4:1. The rapture has taken place. And then John goes to heaven. And I believe there's 24 because those are representative of the 24 Levitical priests, the 24 of the divisions of priests in the Old Testament. But I believe that it is believers who were raptured to heaven. It's representative of the church. Why? Well, go back over to chapter 2 and 3, and you're going to see those churches, those seven churches, where the Lord promises for those who will hear. He promises, I'll give you thrones to sit upon with me. I will give you white robes to wear, and I will give you crowns. So the Lord has just said in 2 and 3, here's what I'm going to give you. And then the rapture takes place, and in chapter 4, verse number 4, we see a picture of people sitting on thrones, lesser thrones, robed in white, wearing crowns. So this is the church. Remember, we are going to rule and reign with him. There's 24 because the Bible says this, and we'll see it in the text in just a minute, but he raised us up to be a kingdom of priests unto him. You remember that in the Word of God? Well, let's look right here in verse 5. In verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. That is symbolic of the Holy Spirit and its sevenfold ministry in our life and in the world. There's not seven different spirits, so don't misinterpret that. But I think we need to look at verse 5 very carefully where it says there's lightning and thunderings and voices. I got home Saturday night. We were up in North Carolina for a wedding. I left as soon as the wedding was over and got back down as quick as I could and studied a little bit, and then I laid down in bed about 11 o'clock, I think. And as I just laid down, and all of a sudden there was thunder and there was lots of lightning taking place. And just a little while later, then the storm hit. But that thunder and that lightning, just as it did yesterday evening here, it was an indicator that there was a storm about to hit. A storm was coming. And so when we see here this scene in heaven, verse 5, we see that there's thunders and lightnings coming out of the throne of God. Well, that is the coming storm of the tribulation that is about to take place on all of unbelieving mankind. So let's look on, let's move tonight. Look in verse 6. And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were the four beasts, or literally living creatures, full of eyes before and behind. Let me go ahead and finish this since we've already read that about those living creatures. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, those living creatures, that is the same living creature, that's seraphim or cherubim that Isaiah saw when he saw Jesus on the throne, the Lord on the throne, high and lifted up. They were declaring the same thing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But let me get you to take notice the throne, and there was a sea of glass like unto the crystal. Almost immediately, our mind goes to that molten sea as we read about over in 1 Kings. We go to Solomon's temple. There was this molten sea, this made of brass upon 12 brazen oxen, all facing out. It's about 15 foot in diameter. As those high priests went in to minister into the holy place, they would have to stop at that brazen sea, so to speak, and they would have to go through a cleansing process to cleanse themselves of their defilement and of their sin before they could enter in on in to the throne room. And so I'm reminded today how you and I daily And as we pray, we have to carry our sins to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us of our sins. And the Bible teaches us we don't have to have a priest to do that. You don't have to come to the preacher to do that. But when you sin, you go straight into the throne room. You confess that sin to Jesus. You turn from that sin. He forgives you, cleanses you, restores you, and establishes your goings again for His namesake and for His testimony. And so when we see the sea of crystal here, though, we are reminded of one great thing that is in heaven and one great thing that'll never have to happen in heaven. Never again in heaven will I have to go before the throne and have to say, "Father, forgive me, for I've sinned again. Lord, I'm here. I've messed up again. Lord, I have failed you again. Please forgive me." And it's a sea of crystal to remind us that our sins not only have been washed away and we have been made whole, but we have been delivered from the very presence and temptation of sin itself as we are in heaven with our Creator and our Redeemer. So the day will come when we'll never have to ask forgiveness of sins because sin will be no more. Are you with me? Say amen. Okay. So let's move on. So these verse 7. I will say this about verse 7. I'm not going to stop there because really you're having to stretch it to make it happen. But you know in each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in Matthew, our Lord is portrayed as a lion. In Mark, He's portrayed as a servant, which is what a calf is a picture of. If you're looking in verse 7, you see what I'm talking about. In Luke, He's presented as the Son of Man, and in John, He's presented as the Son of God. And so some early Bible commentators took verse 7 and said this was a picture of the Gospels. That's a stretch if we're taking Scripture literal. I think these are just pictures of those living creatures who continually, day and night, give glory to God. Look in verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Listen to me. All of these expressions of praise and worship, this is the songs of heaven. The sounds of heaven is going to be praises and worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you don't like music, if you don't like praising, and if you don't like worshiping, then you better back out of this thing while you can, because all of heaven for all of eternity is going to be filled with the songs of heaven. There's some 14, I believe, found all throughout the book of Revelation where the angels or where the people, the redeemed of heaven, of God, are rejoicing and praising Him. But that's what heaven is going to be like. We're going to be praising our Savior. And friends, listen to me. It's often been joked about and kidded about that we better practice down here so heaven won't be a shock to us. But as I've studied this book of Revelation fresh and anew, and I see how the angels are worshiping around the throne, and I see how the redeemed have here flung themselves up on their face before the throne of God and cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus and have declared worthy and thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory forever and ever. As I see the magnitude of heavenly worship, boy, how we lack and how we fail here upon this earth as we worship Him. Now, don't get me wrong. I am saying tonight that in church, we better and we ought to turn it loose. And I think maybe sometimes we don't and we can't because we've never really been saved ourselves or redeemed. But if we're redeemed and we're saved, then listen to me. We need to lay aside the fear of man and what everybody thinks about us. The Bible says, "Fear of man bringeth a snare." We need to lay aside our what we think our reputation is. We need to lay aside our dignity, lay aside our pride, and we ought not to wait for somebody to say praise Him and thank Him, but living our life as an example of what we know is taking place in heaven, we ought to freely, eagerly, willingly, rear back, full of God's Spirit, not for show, but just in humility, and praise Him and bless His name every time we meet as Liberty Baptist Church. But why? Well, because it's taking place in heaven. Why? Because it's what we're going to be doing in heaven. And we're going to get to heaven, and some of us are going to be very surprised. And I promise you this, you won't get to heaven and say, that's just not me and that's not my personality. You cheer at ball games, so don't give me that down here. You scream at the TV during NASCAR. You watch WWF or WWE, whatever it is now, and you get all tied up in that. Man, don't give me that hoopla. I know what it's like at other places and other times. So why in church do we get quiet? This ought to be the least quiet place there is. I promise you that the atheists, they are holding their signs and marching the streets. I promise you that the homosexual movement and the LBGTBYXYZABCLMNOFPQRS group, they've got their signs, and man, they're raising it high, and they are voicing their opinion. Those for gay rights and gay marriage, man, they're not going to shut their mouth. That's the loudest crowd they is. Then why under earth, why under heaven on earth is God's people the quietest we've ever been of any generation that's ever lived? I'll tell you this, God helped the people, and God helped the preacher that has ever led us get quiet. When we ought to have the greatest voice there is upon this earth. So when we come in these four walls, Liberty, this is where we are going to praise Him and we are going to worship Him. All right, let's move quickly then. Verse 5. Actually, let me show you this. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. I just want to show you one verse. Philippians 2. Hold your place in Revelations, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians 2, it's just a few pages to the left of Revelation. Philippians 2, verse 9. Philippians 2. Now listen to what we just read in Revelation 4:10. The Bible said that 20 and 4 elders have fell down before Him that sat upon the throne. They worshiped Him. They cast their crowns before the throne, and they said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power. They have created all things, and for Thy pleasure were they created. So Philippians 2, verse 9, listen to what the Bible says. Talk about Jesus. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name.